Welcome to the Health Science Coach Podcast. My name is Drew Garner, and I'm a health science and physical education teacher. This is a podcast to help students, parents, and recent graduates learn about pathways into healthcare and sports medicine careers. These industry professionals lay out how their experiences have helped them get to where they are now. If you enjoy this content, please subscribe to the channel or download through your podcast player. Thanks again for spending some time with us today. Now let's dig in. Today we have the pleasure of meeting Nick Neneman. He is a doctor of chiropractic in Omaha, Nebraska. Nick, how are we doing today?
Very good. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. So, a little backstory. You and me met back in 2001 at Benedictine, where we both played baseball freshman year. You ended up staying there and getting your degree from there and then going on to school for chiropractic. Let's talk a little bit about what you do for your patients in your chiropractic practice.
Sure. I've been practicing since 2008, started my own practice right away. And on a daily basis, I basically treat conditions, neuromusculoskeletal conditions. You know, obviously the main thing I treat is back pain, neck pain. But what a lot of people don't know is as chiropractors, we treat all musculoskeletal conditions. I work on all joints, all muscles, we're a primary care physician. So, you know, I do new patient exams, I take x-rays, I do report of findings. And just beyond, you know, pain care, I treat a lot of patients that are just here for wellness. You know, I treat a lot of people that don't actually have pain, but they know their spine is one of the most important things in their body. It is the most important thing in their body. And they're interested in taking care of it for the entirety of their life. So that's something I really enjoy too, is just working on people that aren't actually in pain and just helping them keep a quality of life, you know, day in and day out.
Right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know, being your spine protects your whole central nervous system going throughout right. Your whole body and is in charge of basically running your whole body. So school wise, you got an undergraduate degree in biology. Is that right?
Correct.
What are some of the reasons why you chose biology maybe versus another degree in a science type of undergraduate?
Sure. At that time, Benedictine, they didn't have a lot of specific types of majors. I think they actually have more now. And when I say that, I'm saying like exercise science. There's a lot of different specific types of majors you can have. But at that time, you know, they offered, you know, there's biology, biochemistry, chemistry. So for me, biology made sense. And I actually initially, wanted to be a physical therapist. So going into physical therapy or chiropractic, biology, you know, is the major to go with, for either one of those professions, you know, at that time at Benedictine. And then I quickly changed sophomore year to want to be a chiropractor instead of a physical therapist. So.
Okay. What kind of made that little switch for you between PT school and chiropractic school?
Yeah. So, I was obviously an athlete, so physical therapy, chiropractic were right up my alley as far as, you know, treating injuries. And, but basically I injured myself.
Right.
And I hurt myself actually junior year of high school, but then I re-injured it freshman year at Benedictine. And so things that worked for me, my junior year of high school, as far as getting me better, weren't working for me. My freshman year of college, I did physical therapy as a freshman in college, and it definitely helped strengthen me. It helped make me a little more stable, but it wasn't taking away my joint pain. And so I knew there was something more I needed to do. And at that point, I started trying chiropractic, and that leaps and bounds got me better. It started taking away the joint pain and started improving my joint mobility. And I saw a drastic improvement in my condition. And the chiropractor I was actually seeing said, well, why are you still stuck on physical therapy? Why not chiropractic? And the light bulb went off. I said, yeah, this, you know, physical therapy is great, but this made a drastic change in my life. This is what I want to do. So that pretty much was the, you know, when I turned the corner with wanting to be a chiropractor. And it worked out nice because I didn't have to change any of my classes. Everything I was taking to go into physical therapy was all apply to chiropractic. So I didn't have to change anything by major.
Right.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Being able to have that biology and, you know, going into, like you said, chiropractic because of your personal experience of,
right,
having that treatment and having it work and helping you get better. So after, or while you're at Benedictine, I guess you chose to be wanting to go into chiropractic. How did you choose Cleveland Chiropractic in Kansas City, being from Omaha and then coming down to the, greater Kansas City area with Benedictine? How did the choice of Cleveland go for you? And at what point did you start applying for Cleveland?
Sure. Really, the closest schools to, you know, I'm from Omaha, but going to Benedictine, which is actually in Kansas, it's only an hour from Kansas City.
Right.
So I basically started looking at the closest schools to the Omaha, Kansas City area. And that basically came down to Palmer Chiropractic College in Davenport, Iowa, Cleveland Chiropractic College in Kansas City. And then there's also Logan, which is in St. Louis. Okay. And then I guess you can keep going. There's Northwestern in Minnesota. Those are basically all the Midwestern schools.
Right.
And really for me, going to Benedictine, and making trips to Kansas City, you know, obviously you're from Kansas City and, you know, I'd been down there to hang out with you. And so really, my top two were Palmer and Davenport, because that was the original chiropractic school. And then Cleveland and Kansas City, those are my top two. And really, nothing against Davenport, Iowa, but I just felt like Kansas City was more of a fun city to be in. It was only an hour away from where my college was. And so it was almost kind of felt like a second home to me. So it just made sense. I went and visited the school there, had a really good feel to it. It just felt like home. And I applied, pretty sure I applied near the end of my junior year. And I got, because I'm pretty sure I was accepted going into my senior year at Benedictine. So I got accepted pretty early.
Got that out of the way. So. Going into your senior year, you said?
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm pretty sure I remember getting my acceptance letter like right at the start of my senior year. So
that's pretty cool to have that, you know, knowing what you're going to be doing while you're still finishing your undergraduate degree and knowing, you know, your pathway. So while you were at Cleveland and Kansas City, I know you did the trimester program. Let's talk a little bit about how that went and the class structure coming from having a bachelor's degree in biology.
Yeah, so the interesting thing was, getting my bachelor's degree at Benedictine, you know, it was considered a heavy load if you were taking like 18 credit hours was like a full load, right? And I would typically take, you know, 17 to 18 in the fall. And then in the spring when I was playing baseball, I would try to take a little lighter load just because we'd be traveling for games. And so in the spring, I would take anywhere from 13 to 15, I would say. But again, 18 was considered heavy. So then when I went to Cleveland and I did the, I don't even know if they offered anymore, but I did the accelerated nine trimester program. So basically it's 4 years worth of school in three years. And so I took, I think my heaviest, I'm trying to remember what my heaviest, I think I took close to 30 credit hours, like a few trimesters.
I remember talking about it. I think you had like 27, I believe.
Yeah. 28, I think was up there, you know? So it was just insane going from what 18 considered being heavy in undergrad to, you know, 28 being you know, typical in the accelerated nine trimester program. So it was a very heavy course load. I mean, in undergrad, you might have four classes in a day. You might get an hour off here, hour off there. In chiropractic school, it's class after class all day long, all throughout the day.
Time job. You guys were gone from, 8 o'clock first classes to, coming home 5 o'clock around there.
Exactly.
Most days. So first year of chiropractic school, what are some of the key things or classes in your program that you did? And we'll talk kind of the first year, second year, third year, and progression of, working on patients to just learning how to palpate and that kind of stuff.
Right.
So first year, what are the kind of the key takeaways that in chiropractic school?
Sure. What I would emphasize to people is, I think a lot of people just don't really know. I've even had people say like, oh, what's chiropractic school? Is it like a 1 year certificate program, like massage therapy? And, nothing against massage therapy. It's a great, great profession, but no, it parallels medical school. One of my good buddies from Benedictine actually went to med school, And so it was kind of neat while I was in chiropractic school and he was in med school. I could see what classes he was taking. And basically the first few years we were taking almost the same identical classes. So that first year you're taking a lot of your basic anatomies, physiologies, you know, you're taking embryology, systemic anatomy. You're taking a lot of your basic anatomy and physiology courses. And so again, you know, my buddy in med school was taking all the same classes as me pretty much that first year. Right. And then as far as from a, like a chiropractic technique perspective, we were taking basic palpation classes, which is, learning where everything's at on the spine and being able to feel it, real basic stuff. You know, a lot of people think of the spine as just vertebra, but what people don't know is there's all kinds of different anatomical structures to each vertebra. You know, there's the spinous process, the lamina, the transverse process. You know, there's just all the different structures that we had to learn. And so we would practice on each other. And, you know, we basically in class, you know, the teacher would be like, okay, find the T6 transverse process or find the L4 spinous process. And we'd literally have to mark it with like a little grease pen. And then the instructor would come over and check it and make sure that we actually marked the right spot on the person's spine. So, you know, before we did any adjusting, that first year was just basically locating stuff on the spine, be able to identify where it's at, feel where it's at. So that was in conjunction with all the you know, basic book classes we were taking.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So. You
know, go ahead. Year two. So as you get further along, you know, you start getting into more kinetic palpation, which is actually, you're starting to feel the patient's spine with motion, you know, checking joint mobility and how's the joint moving. And then you're starting to get into more of your diagnosis classes, getting more detailed into like neuromuscular diagnosis, gastrointestinal diagnosis. You're getting into, you know, your more specific systems of the body diagnosis. And then we also start getting into our radiology classes, basic radiology. You know, then you move into year three and you're starting your clinical internship. You know, at the beginning, you're basically a student intern. You're working on students, you know, so other introductory students were my patients. And then you progress to the actual outpatient clinic where people are coming in off the street and you're actually treating them. And so that was a bulk of that last year of the 9-trimester program.
How many hours or how many patients, I guess, did you have to see to be able to, you know, call it your clinical?
Oh man, I'm trying to remember now. I want to say I had to do like, I want to say it was like 250 adjustments.
Okay.
I had to do, I want to say it was 250. And then I'm trying to remember, I think it was like 25 examinations I had to do. It was some, okay. And I'm not 100% sure on that, but I think it was 25 exams, 250 adjustments.
And so while you're doing that, are the instructors in there watching your technique, watching and checking and feeling that they feel the same thing as you as well?
Yeah. We would have to get signed off on everything. You know, when we do that exam on that patient, they would check to make sure, like we would, you know, basically all of our findings we would list, they'd come in and check that for us and say, yeah, you are on par, you know, this, they do have a C6 subluxation on the right, or they do have this condition or whatnot. And then they'd have to sign off on it before we'd actually treat it, you know, before we could actually touch them and adjust them and treat them, they'd have to sign off on it. So,
right.
Yep.
All right. So 3 years of chiropractic school, advanced program, you're getting ready to graduate from Cleveland and, you know, you went back to Omaha where you're from to start up your career. You know, we talked a little bit about at the beginning, you know, what you do for your job. How did you choose to like, how did you choose what to do when you graduated to like go work for somebody or to open your own practice or, you know, how does that all kind of play out?
Yeah. So I wanted to work for someone initially. I'll be honest with you. I didn't really have any aspirations, at least initially, to run my own business.
Yeah.
To me, that was kind of a scary thought. I just wanted to work under somebody and that was the initial plan. But basically, you know, it's really different geographically because some of my colleagues that went to other states to practice, there were a lot more opportunities to be an associate and to work in another clinic. Mm-hmm. I basically found here in Omaha, You know, I wanted to come back here where my family's at. And so, you know, basically when I was moving back here, I found out that there wasn't really a lot of opportunities to be an associate for another chiropractor.
Yeah.
You know, I remember emailing all the doctors in Nebraska and saying, specifically the Omaha area, and saying, hey, is anyone looking to hire? You know, I want to, you know, be under someone's wing to start out. And I really didn't get a lot of, you know, I got some answers back. They're like, oh, sorry, you know, thanks for inquiring, but we're not hiring. Yeah. And so really, just due to a lack of opportunities in the Omaha area to work for someone else, I basically just decided, I'm going to start my own. And the way it worked out, is a good friend of mine, Dr. Peter Young, he had started his own practice in the La Vista area, which is, you know, just south of Omaha. Mm-hmm. And, I got to talking to him, and he said, look, you know, you can be an independent contractor out of my office. So you're still starting your own business, but you're basically just renting space for me,
yeah.
You know, pay me monthly, and it's a low overhead way to start your own practice. And the cool thing about that, so that's what I did. And the cool thing about that was I was my own business, yet I was in his office. So although I didn't work for him, he was there for me to kind of mentor and guide me. And so that was kind of the cool thing about that first year is I got to slowly build my own business, but yet I had him there to help me, you know, with, hey, what do you see on this x-ray? Or, you know, how would you manage this patient? Like, what kind of treatment plan would you formulate for this patient with this condition? And so it was really an awesome first year for me to learn under his guidance and to slowly build my patient base.
Right.
And then year two, where I'm at now, where I've been for 12 years, the doctor here was looking to get out of business. And okay. I basically purchased his assets. I, you know, I already had my own business started, but I basically bought his patient base, his equipment, and I moved into his clinic here and continued on with my own practice.
Right. And then just changed the name from his practice to Nineman Chiropractic.
Right, right. Since I already had Nineman Chiropractic Clinic established, I basically just made that the practice name and you know, not his anymore. So
yeah, that's pretty cool. So when you are looking to, you know, acquire a business and assets and, you know, x-ray machines and tables and that kind of stuff. What kind of process was there for that, such as, you know, maybe loans or research into what his annual income was, that kind of stuff?
Yeah. First, let me say that initially when I did independent contract out of Dr. Young's office, mm-hmm. I did take out a small loan just to buy. You know, I got to use some of his equipment, but as far as like my own adjusting table, some right. of my own equipment in my own treatment room, I did take out a very small loan for that. So I was able to go to a bank and take out a small SBA loan. And that got me going with just, like I said, with all my own basic equipment. Yeah. But then that year two, I'll be honest with you, it was a pretty slick process. That doctor, he basically agreed to take on the note, the loan. So what I bought his assets for, I basically made, he had a broker he went through, but I signed the note basically through him and the broker, basically saying I would make monthly payments for 3 years until it was paid off. Okay. So it was pretty slick. I didn't even have to go through a bank, to buy his assets. It was I paid him every month for 3 years until he was paid off. And so that was pretty neat, you know, that he was willing to do that with me. And, that's something for any young, men or women looking to get into chiropractic to know that that's an option. You know, if for whatever reason, if you're struggling to get a loan from a bank, you may be able to find a seller that's willing to finance the business himself, you know, if he trusts you. And, that was a pretty neat process.
It also kind of gives them a monthly income, if you will, I guess, something that he can count on for, you know, 3 years while he's retired. And
no, exactly. That was, I know he enjoyed, you know, for 3 years getting my monthly payments every
your month.
So yeah, absolutely.
What is something that you truly love about going to work every day, running your own business? Could be patient wise or anything else.
Yeah. You know, honestly, it is definitely the patient interaction. You know, that'd be one thing I'd say for anyone looking at chiropractic is make sure you're a people person, a sociable person. You know, if if you're more of an introvert and would rather just be behind a computer, you know, it's probably not the job for you. But if you love social interaction, it's definitely the job for you. And honestly, that's what I love. Obviously, the number one, you know, concern when a patient's in my room is their health and you know, what I'm going to do for them to make them feel better. But also, when you see these patients on a regular basis, and when I say regular basis, I mean, I have some people that come to me once a week for the entire year. Mm-hmm. I have, you know, acute patients that are a lot of pain. I might see them three times a week for 3 to 4 weeks, and then we start decreasing their frequency. But I see these people a lot, you know.
Right.
People that go to their medical doctor, they might go twice a year when they're sick, and that's it, you know. So a lot of MDs, they don't really develop that personal relationship with their patients, and I get to do that. And I can honestly say, you know, I always strive to keep that patient-doctor relationship. You know, you want to keep that professional relationship, yeah. Right? But I can, in lieu of that, I can honestly say that I'm friends with a lot of my patients. I've become really good friends with a lot of my patients. And so each time they come in, you know, obviously, again, our main concern is how are they feeling? How are they doing? But we talk about all kinds of things. You know, I have my patients that are big Husker fans like me, and we'll talk Husker football, or, you know, I have other patients that are youth coaches like I am, and we'll talk about our youth sports that we coach. And there's just all kinds of neat things that I talk to my patients about. And I can honestly say I've learned a lot from my patients, and I've grown as a person from my patients. I mean, you know, there's some people, I mean, we talk about just life stuff about life that's going on. And I can honestly say, you know, I've gotten advice from my patients that have just helped me in my life, you know, my personal life. And so I would honestly say that's what I enjoy the most, is just the relationships I've built with those people. I really look forward to when I see, you know, certain people on the schedule, I'm excited to talk to them and see what's going on. And so
speaking about scheduling, I guess, mm-hmm. you are the only doctor in your chiropractic practice. Do you have anybody that works the front desk, and how does that kind of correlate with how you see your patients and schedule their treatments?
Yeah. I just have one other employee, Peggy. She's awesome. She is my chiropractic assistant. So she basically works the front desk, schedules, answers the phone. She also helps me. You know, obviously, I'll see the patient first in my room and give whatever treatment I need to. But then I also do some accessory treatments in other rooms, some physiotherapies, and she can hook them up to those machines. So she does help me with that as well.
Right.
So yeah, it's just me and her. It's a pretty small shop here. Patients love us. You know, that's, you know, if you read my reviews online, it's not just about me. Patients talk about Peggy, my assistant up front. They love her. And I've been so lucky to have her all these years. She's been a staple to this practice here. And so I'm very fortunate. And we're a pretty good team, me and her. We run a good system here. So
that's pretty cool. Yeah, to be able to have that, you know, having an assistant that has been around with you for so long and being able to run that smooth operation like that.
Yep.
What are some of the maybe like misconceptions about chiropractic that you see or hear about?
Yeah. So I would say one of them, I mentioned it earlier, would be, I think people kind of view it as massage. And again, massage is outstanding. It's a great profession. It's very beneficial. But we are a step up from massage. We are a doctor. We are a doctorate level program. So I would say that's a misconception a lot. And I would say, you know, another thing that a misconception is, you know, people will kind of refer to us as a fake doctor, or, you know, they consider MDs a real doctor.
Right.
What people need to understand is that doctor is a level of education. I mean, you know, there's people with a PhD, they are a doctor, you know, a doctor of philosophy, and, you know, whatever it may be, a PhD in English or
of education also.
Yeah. So it is. So I think people need to understand that it's a level of education. I mean, yes, I think they think of MDs in the white coat and they think they're the real doctor. But again, we're all different types of doctors. I mean, a dentist is a doctor. An optometrist is a doctor, an eye doctor, you know, so we're all different types of doctors. You know, a chiropractor is a, you know, a neuromusculoskeletal doctor. You know, we treat joints and the nervous system. And So we're very educated people. We are a primary care physician. You know, I think people think sometimes, oh, I need a referral for my MD to go to a chiropractor. No, we're a primary care physician. You can come straight to us instead of going to a medical doctor. So trying to think what else, misconceptions. I would say the other thing is people think of us only as a back doctor. And, you know, so they may have a shoulder issue and they think, oh, I can't, you know, I need to go to a physical therapy or an orthopedic because, you know, you're just a back doctor. And it's, no, we are trained in every joint muscle of the body. So
yeah.
I treat tons of shoulders, knees, ankles. I treat all that in my practice. That's a real common misconception. So if you have an injury outside of the spine, you can come see a chiropractor for that. So that's another big one, I would say. So
I remember when I was training for half Ironmans and, you know, you were working on some of your techniques while you were in school, you would do some active release technique and movement through the range of motion with me. What certifications as well as besides just your degree are there out there, and what kind do you kind of like to use?
Yeah, so you mentioned one, you mentioned active release technique, and the other one that's right up there with ART is that I'm certified in is Grasson technique. That's what I got my certification in. You know, when I was in school, I was really fascinated with the chiropractic adjusting techniques. You know, I was all about the spinal manipulation. That's what I was really fascinated in. And then as I started going through my internship, I started realizing the need for soft tissue techniques as well, you know, because while you certainly can adjust a shoulder, you can adjust a wrist, you can adjust all those things. A lot of times there's a soft tissue component of that injury. And so I realized like I want more background with soft tissue. And so I started looking at advanced techniques that I could get certified in. And so I looked at ART, active release technique, and Grasson technique.
Right.
And really why I chose Grasson, they're both great techniques, but I chose Grasson because it uses instruments, it uses tools to do the treatment. And I just felt like that would, in the long run, that would be easier on my hands. Now, if you do ART correctly, you should be able to do it to where it doesn't hurt your hands or your fingers.
Yeah.
But I still thought using instruments or tools would be easier on my body. And so that's why I chose that technique. I took two different modules to get certified in that. And it's a great technique. I use that on soft tissue injuries. It's really been a great asset to my business. A lot of patients get better with chiropractic adjustments alone. But when I've had some tricky injuries that have a soft tissue component, I've been able to fix those issues with Grasson technique. So that I'm really glad I got certified in that right out of school. So
absolutely, being able to have, you know, just more tools in your toolbox to
help
your patients and help them along. So you've mentioned that, you know, you've been in your practice that you have now for 12 years and 1 year outside.
13,
chiropractor now for 13 years. What is something that you're most proud of, you know, either graduating or owning and running a successful practice? What's something that you're most proud of?
Yeah, I would honestly say I'm definitely most proud of having my own business for 13 years. You know, like I'd mentioned earlier, I didn't initially plan to start my own business. I just wanted to work for someone else. I just wanted to treat patients. I really didn't know I was going to start my own business. And then so when I did, you know, it was scary. It was a risk. And, you know, what do they say? Like most businesses fail within the first 5 years, you know. And so I was like, really just like, man, I hope I make it 5 years. And here I am 13 years later, and I've been profitable all these years. And, you know, I'll be the first to admit I'm not the top business owner in the nation. You know, I'm not some, you know, I'm not Mr., you know, Mr. top of the line business, but you know what? I'm pretty proud that I've been able to be a business owner all these years. You know, it's like, I'm doing something right. I've learned how to run a business, and I'm really, you know, again, I'm not going to go try to run some multi-million dollar corporation or anything, but, the fact that I've done this for 13 years, I'm really proud of myself. Because again, it's something I didn't intend on doing. It was something I was scared to do, but I took the risk and I've been able to do it all these years. And so I'm, you know, I think it's a testament to the care I offer. The fact that I am still in business, I've been able to help a lot of people and they keep coming back to me and they keep referring people to me because I'm doing good things for them. And so that makes me feel good to know that I've been able to be successful at helping people and that's been all the, you know, enabled me to be in business all these years.
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of along that, you know, educational changes and professional development throughout the 13 years, what are some things that you do as a professional to kind of continue your education or help you grow as a chiropractor?
Sure. Well, first of all, in the state of Nebraska, we need to have 36 hours of continuing education every 2 years.
Okay.
And so it's pretty cool, actually. Our state association, they hold two conventions a year where they bring in speakers that enables us to get continuing education. So
yeah,
twice a year, I go to these conventions, these seminars, and I get to hear from great speakers, speakers that are known all over the nation, all over the world. And so, you know, they provide us with new cutting edge information and technique. And so that's what enables me to continue to grow professionally. You know, and then through the years, I don't do it as much anymore just because I'm so busy in the office. But, you know, I used to be in a networking group, a referral group. It's Business Networking International, BNI. You know, that was something that really was good for me. I did that for 7 years.
Okay.
And I got to network with other business professionals, learn about their businesses, how I was able to help grow their business, referrals, and vice versa.
Yeah.
That really helped develop me as a professional and as a person. I made a lot of good relationships that way. That also helped me with my public speaking, because I would give presentations in front of groups, because that was something. You know, coming out of school, starting my own business is, you know, obviously you have to be able to speak to patients in the room, but then as a professional, when you're expected to speak in front of a group, that was something I was really nervous about. But I really got a lot stronger as a person, as a professional, speaking in front of groups. So that's another way I've really grown as a chiropractor through all these years. So,
with that professional development, what are some of the current industry trends in chiropractic right now?
Yeah, so something that I'm kind of passionate about seeing happen as far as a trend, and I'll be honest with you, I feel like Nebraska is behind in this perspective, but a growing trend with chiropractic is working in a multidisciplinary practice. If you go to other states, and I would say even Kansas City's better, probably better with this than Nebraska is, but a practice where you have a whole bunch of different types of providers and within that same building, to where you have an MD and you might have a physical therapist, a chiropractor, a neurologist, a massage therapist, where you have a whole slew of different types of providers that can offer different technique, different avenues of treatment. And so that is something that is becoming more popular. You're hearing about it more and more in different cities and different states. And I really think that's the best model to be able to offer the best treatment for a patient. You know, here in Nebraska, I just don't hear enough about that. It's more like, you know, chiropractic private practices and then, you know, a neurology office and orthopedic office. They're all separate, you know, and that's something that's the growing trend that you're seeing in a lot of states now is you're seeing multidisciplinary offices. And again, I think that's the best way to be able to treat a patient effectively when you have everything in the house. You know, if there's something I'm worried about in a patient and I want them to go see a neurologist, to be able to have one right across the hallway would be awesome. And be like, I want you to go see this doctor across the hall.
Right.
I want him to further evaluate you. I'm worried about, you know, you could have this going on. So that's the growing trend. So that's something I really want to see. You know, statewide across the U.S. is I want to see that becoming, you know, very common, very popular in all states.
So, well, speaking of that, you know, the next topic, I guess, is career goals. What do you see for yourself, you know, in the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years of your practice for yourself? Is that something that you're wanting to try to open and develop there in Omaha? And if so, you know, what would you want to have in your practice?
Yeah. So I'm not sure that I'd want to like take it on myself as far as, you know, being the, you know, trying to get that within my clinic. There's a lot of just different, a lot of things you have to do to set that up. For me personally, I feel like it might be a headache, but that being said, I would be open if some other doctors came to me about it and wanted to include me, you know, maybe in a opening a different clinic outside of mine here.
Right.
And including me in that, I would definitely, I would entertain that idea going into business with some other types of physicians in the future. Cool. Again, I don't necessarily want to spearhead it myself. I have some friends that have actually done that, and there's just a lot of obstacles as far as like getting accredited and organizing business structure with different business owners and shareholders. And so,
So what do you have then career goals for yourself other than, you know, continuing to develop your personal brand and treat your patients for, you know, next 10, 15, umpteen years until you're ready to release your, patient load?
Yeah. So I would say for the time being, I definitely want to keep doing what I'm doing here, treat my patients. Yeah, you never know down the road if my practice grows enough. Yeah, I may look to hire another doctor to run the clinic and me take more of a an owner, you know, just more of an ownership role and, you know, maybe, you know, pass more of the duties on to an associate doctor. That is something down the road that may happen. Again, it would all depend on how much my practice grows.
Right.
You know, something I've even considered that I haven't really gotten into yet, but even the goal of, I've even thought about getting into teaching at some point. To be honest, you know, I'm there is no chiropractic school here in Omaha, but if there was, I would definitely be interested in, you know, teaching at, you know, a chiropractic college. I really I have a joy for teaching, and so yeah, obviously that's what you do. And
come on,
you know,
man.
Obviously, my alma mater, Cleveland University. I mean, that's obviously in KC. So, yeah, I mean, I don't see myself moving to Kansas City just with my son here and my family here. But, yeah, I definitely I would enjoy teaching. I really enjoy passing on my skills and tools that I've learned to others. And I think with coaching sports, that's a method to be able to teach people, teach kids. Right. And I enjoy that. So that is a potential goal down the road as well, is to get into some teaching, you know, even if it's not with no chiropractic school here, even if it's just at a local college, you know, teaching anatomy or something like that. So,
yeah, that's pretty cool. Speaking about teaching and learning and passing on information, what's something that, you know, you wish you would have knew about in high school or maybe, you know, your first couple of years of college at Benedictine about something that could help you with your career now?
Yeah. So, you know, honestly, I would emphasize to any high school student or college student, if you're really looking to get into chiropractic, I would consider taking some business classes as well. And that's something that honestly I didn't do that I wish I would have. And I do believe the chiropractic schools are definitely hammering home business classes now, and they're teaching more business in schools. But
right.
I will tell you, like, the schools are excellent. My school, Cleveland Chiropractic College, now Cleveland University, they were outstanding. I mean, as far as clinical skills, I mean, I came out of school being a top level clinician, and that was outstanding. But definitely something that I would emphasize to any prospective student is to look at taking some business classes as well. Because, again, if that's something you aspire to do, open your own practice, you want to have those business skills, you know, basic things like learning how to write a business plan, you know, to be able to get a loan to start a business. And those are all things that would be highly advantageous for a high school student, college student, to start taking some of those classes. So, and then the other thing I would say too is just find a mentor, because I did have one. You know, the chiropractor I saw as a high school student, you know, he was the one that convinced me to become a chiropractor. I would say if you're a high school student looking into being a chiropractor, start shadowing chiropractors now, learning about how, you know, what it's like to be one and what it entails, what the daily, you know, the daily procedures are that you go through in a clinic. And so I would definitely recommend that to any high school students, to start shadowing doctors now.
Absolutely. Well, this next question kind of bounces off that one. This is a three-part question. Advice for high school students interested in getting into chiropractic, advice for college undergraduates, and I know that Cleveland now University has, you can take their undergraduate classes, some of them there.
Yeah.
And then as well as advice for a recent graduate in the field, or someone that's just graduating. And then also advice for somebody, you know, in that first 3 to 6 months of owning their practice, working for someone. We're going to go with the first one. Advice for a high school student that is getting ready to apply to chiropractic school.
Yeah, so definitely, like I just mentioned, I would recommend for that high school student to start shadowing some doctors, some chiropractors, so they can start getting that feel for it. It definitely start, I would say, you know, when you're looking for colleges in high school and you want to start applying, look for colleges that have strong science departments. You know, some universities are more known for business programs. Some are more known for sciences. So definitely look for a university that has a good biology department, chemistry, exercise science, you know, pre-chiropractic, those pre-health programs. That'll be an advantage for you. You definitely want to make sure that you're going to be able to go to a university where you're going to be able to get all your prerequisites you need to get into chiropractic school. And then, you know, for the college student, honestly, some advice I would have for the college student is I would start planting some seeds. You know, if you have already shadowed some doctors in high school, or maybe you are now in college, is start planting some seeds. And what I mean by that is you might be able to actually find an employer, you know, way ahead of time before you would even get to chiropractic school or chiropractic school. Is if you develop some relationships with some of those doctors, and you know, you tell them like, hey, I'm in college now, I'm getting an exercise science degree or a biology degree or biochem,
right.
Would you be interested in possibly employing me when I get out of chiropractic school with my degree? And so that's something I would say, is to start planting seeds then and kind of in college, getting your undergrad. You know, get ahead of the game, I would say, and do that. Advice for someone in chiropractic school, I would definitely say it depends what kind of load you take as far as like what trimester program you do. Me personally, I would recommend not working in chiropractic school. That would be advice I would give them. I do know I had friends that would try, they would work a part-time job, and they were good students. They were able to handle it. They worked their job, and then they took all the classes that we were taking.
Right.
But I know at times it was hard for them to study, and, you know, they may have got, you know, B's and C's at times. For me, it really was beneficial for me to not work in chiropractic school, especially when we were taking upwards of 28 credit hours a trimester. I needed to dedicate all my time to my studies. So that'd be some advice I'd give to them, is do not short on your studies. It's very important. You're going to take a lot of exams. You're going to be studying a lot. And then you get further down the road and you have to start taking your national board exams, which requires a lot of studying. When we were roommates, you may even remember, like when I was on my spring break, I was at home studying for boards, though, you know, I couldn't really enjoy my spring break because I was preparing for boards. So I would definitely give that advice, is be able to fully submerge yourself in your studies, because, you know, obviously to get licensed, you know, need to be able to score high enough on your board exams. You know, I know some chiropractors that struggled passing all their boards. And they actually were delayed being able to go into practice because they hadn't passed their board exams yet. So, again, I would recommend just fully submerging yourself in your studies. As far as for someone that's out first 3 to 6 months practicing, keep all your doors and your avenues open. You know, like I talked about earlier, whether you're starting out working for someone else or, you know, the independent contractor route that I went, you know, keep that avenue open, you know, renting space from another doctor to be able to start your own practice. Mm-hmm. You know, look for doctors that are selling their practice, you know, because even if you already started your own practice out of school, you know, maybe if you're not seeing the amount of patients that you want to see yet, your practice isn't growing as fast as you want to grow. There may be another doctor selling their practice, and you could either merge the two or you could have two locations. You know, there's a lot of different ways to practice out there. You know, like I said, associateship, independent contractor, owning your own business, buying another practice that's already established. There's a lot of different avenues. So I would say keep your doors open. You know, talk to other chiropractors. You know, don't be afraid to ask for help. You know, that's one thing I would say about us chiropractors is, in a lot of professions, people who are competing in the profession, they're enemies. And I, you know, with us chiropractors, we're all friends.
Yeah.
I can honestly say a lot of the local chiropractors around town here, we're all buddies. And if one of us is going on vacation, we'll say, hey, while I'm out of town, go see my buddy down the street. You know, we're there for each other. So that's one thing, is lean on your friends, lean on your colleagues, your fellow chiropractors. We're there to help you. So.
Your camera cut out.
Did it? Am I back now?
Yep, you're good now. That's no problem. Yeah, that's really cool to be able to have that kind of relationship with, you know, people in the same industry. If you're doing like a car sales, or you're especially any kind of sales, you're not going to say, hey, I can't help you, but this guy can down the street.
Right.
Maybe you do, maybe you don't, but being able to have, like you said, have that relationship, especially when, like you said, you're going on vacation for this week, or, you know, you're planning a trip to Kansas City for your son's baseball tournament or whatever that may look like, to be able to have somebody to kind of share responsibilities with when you're out of town is pretty cool. let's see. Do you have any books that you would recommend for a high school, college student that might be interested in chiropractic?
Yeah, so let's see if you can.
Got it.
Fundamentals of Chiropractic right here. Actually, the president of our school, Carl Cleveland III, he co-authored this with Dr. Redwood, who's also an instructor of mine at Cleveland. Okay. This is an excellent book. For a high school or college student, I mean, some of it may be a little over their head, for just wanting to learn about the basics of chiropractic, the philosophy of chiropractic, this is an excellent book. I would recommend it. So we actually used it in school in a lot of our classes when we were, you know, learning various things about chiropractic. But it's an awesome book. I still have it to this day. And it's very comprehensive about what we do. So.
I like that a lot. And then do you have any, like you said, Graston technique, do you have any tools or maybe a special table or something that you kind of just use as a everyday trait for your practice?
Yeah, like you mentioned, you know, Graston instruments like these are tools, stainless steel beveled edged tools that basically do muscle scraping to break up adhesions in the muscle. I use those on a daily basis. And then my adjusting table is a pretty expensive table, to be honest with you, and that's why I had to take out a loan when I first started for it. It has a lot of moving parts, which I really like. I'm able to do different techniques with it. It has drop pieces that I can use when I do drop technique. It actually is able to do a form of traction, flexion distraction, where it basically tractions the patient out. I can do, you know, basically a form of disc decompression. So yeah, that is it's a special table I bought that was a great purchase that enables me to do a lot more treatments and techniques. And that's something that I also use every day. So
yeah, the table, like your shoes or your tires on your car, the table is what the patient is using other than you.
Right. So
be able to have a quality table, I think, is really important for chiropractic. You know, that's the comfort level for the patient, as well as you being able to use your special or different techniques to manipulate however you need see fit for that patient. Pretty cool. Couple more questions for you. We're almost running up to an hour, so I'll let you get back to your work. So our athletic trainer here at the high school kind of helped me come up with this question. It was, if you dislike blank, then being an athletic trainer is not for you. And so when I talked to her about it, she said feet. And so athletic trainers, you know, tape a lot of feet, especially high school football, basketball season, that kind of stuff. So as a chiropractor, if you don't like blank, then being a chiropractor is not the right career path for you.
Yeah, I would say if you don't like touching people, being in close proximity to people, then chiropractic's probably not for you. Yeah, I mean, obviously I touch patients all day long, you know, touch their spine or touch their knee or foot, whatever I may be working on.
Right.
You know, you're going to get people that have been working all day. They're sweaty. You know, it's 98 degrees outside. They might not smell the best. That's just part of the job, you know.
Yeah.
I do work, you know, I adjust ankles. I treat plantar fasciitis of the feet, and you might get some stinky feet or yeah. So yeah, if you don't, you know, I've even talked to people. They're like, how do you do what you do? I don't want to touch people all day, you know? And so, yeah, if that's you, then you probably wouldn't like being a chiropractor. So
next part of that is bounce off of that is if you do like blank, and then being the chiropractor is the right career path for you.
Yeah, I would say if you like socializing with people and helping people, then this is right up your alley. Again, yeah. If you're a people person, I get to talk to people all day long. I get to help people all day long. If you feel personal reward and satisfaction out of helping people, I mean, this is an excellent job for you because, you know, for people to get people out of pain is a great feeling. So
absolutely. And I've you know, working in the healthcare industry, the people that I talk to throughout these podcasts, you know, a lot of them say that exact same thing, you know, being able to help somebody recover from XYZ or better themselves by this. So I think, you know, like you said, just that's a really powerful to be able to help people in that type of case. Last question for you is if you have a mantra or quote that you like to live your kind of career or life by.
Yeah. So this quote, I think I was in high school when I heard it or I read it. It was a former Omaha high school baseball coach here. He said this quote, and I'm paraphrasing it, but it's something like somewhere someone is practicing and working harder than you. And when they meet you, they'll beat you. Again, I'm paraphrasing that, but that was something really motivating for me. And it doesn't just apply to sports. It applies to life. You know, the first time I heard that, I thought about that. It's like, you know, I was a high school student, high school baseball player. And I'm like, you know, somewhere here in town, there's a kid my age that's working harder than me and he's going to take my spot or, you know, he's going to get the scholarship and I'm not, you know, and, you know, I'm a pretty competitive person and I've just carried that with me, throughout my entire life. I always remember reading that quote. It was Bill Olson. He's a former coach here in Omaha. He that was his quote. And, you know, even in school, I was a very competitive person, you know, with my classmates, my buddies, and I wanted to get better grades than them. And then, you know, when I took my national boards, you know, I when I was studying, I thought about that. I'm like, you know, there's other students that are, might be, you know, I don't want them studying harder than me and getting a higher score on boards than me. I want to beat them. I want to have a better score. And,
yeah.
You know, especially when I applied to chiropractic school, it's like, I want my grades to be better than another prospective student that could get in over me, you know? And so again, I think that it's a good mantra for life, I think is, don't let people outwork you, whether it's trying to build your business, you know, work harder than everybody else and to accomplish what you want to accomplish.
So. Yeah. I love that. That's awesome. And like you said, it does go beyond just sports. It moves into education, it moves into your business, it moves into your daily life of being trying to be the best person you can be to set yourself up for future. Well, Nick, thank you so much. We really appreciated our time with you and talking about all things chiropractic. Hopefully look forward to eventually coming up there and going through a day in the life of chiropractic or for a patient, me coming in and you doing a office visit to help kind of show that kind of side of the world as well. Looking forward to seeing you and talking to you soon.
For sure. I really appreciate having me on this podcast. It's pretty cool that you do this and that this is a resource for all the students out there. So yeah, thanks Drew for having me. I really appreciate it.
If you've made it this far into the episode, I want to thank you again for watching. Please subscribe, share, and comment below with any questions or comments you may have. If you're interested in more information about other professions within healthcare careers, please visit healthsciencecoach.com and talk to your school counselor or academic advisor. As always, stay happy, healthy, and live life with passion.